The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. What if your financial goals and your deepest convictions were perfectly in sync? Welcome to episode 100
yes.
of Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management and planning from the perspective of biblical wisdom and biblical principles.
Well, James, you know, we're surrounded by so-called financial advice every day. But how much of it actually helps you become who God wants you to be? Today, we're bridging the gap between your bank account and your heart's calling.
Yeah, and every week, too, we break down the latest, well, I don't know if the latest, but financial headlines. Anyway, things at least that we think should be in the headlines, and we try to do that with clarity and focus. But that's just the beginning. As always, we'll see if we can stump you with our weekly trivia, and then we'll spend the rest of our time diving deep into principles and practical strategies that help you manage your wealth with a clear conscience and a kingdom focus.
But first, let's look at what's happening in the markets and the world around us in our week in review. And I think Joe will be mighty happy with us this week.
Yeah,
we brought some good news.
Good
with us.
News. Why That's don't we right. start with the good news?
Let's do it. Let's
because
do
there's
it
plenty
Joe.
Of bad news, right? There's all kinds of stuff going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Bad news. So what's the good news?
Well, we've seen an article this morning on a couple platforms, one Yahoo Finance, that said that trucking stocks have been surging.
Wow.
Trucking stocks, shipping, transportation. And that there's an index called the Dow Jones Transportation Average, and that's up almost 30%, 29% the past month.
Well, we have to remind our listeners that all investments involve risk.
Right? We had a disclaimer right before we started.
That's right. But we'll say it again, just because stock is up or an index is up doesn't mean you should go out and buy that.
If anything, but it might mean you missed it.
It might mean you missed it. That's exactly right.
We're not telling anybody to buy anything.
That's right. But the reason that's important is that investors, at least some investors, are clearly looking at transportation, and they think there is an opportunity there.
Absolutely.
Now, so why would there be an opportunity? Well, maybe investors think there's going to be more stuff actually getting shipped back and forth. Or at least they think that these transportation companies will be making more profits.
Being more efficient.
That's right.
Even if they're not moving more goods.
That's right. Now, we would hope they would move more stuff.
Yes. And more efficiently.
That's right. Yeah. But if they're moving more stuff, even if it's inefficiently, that means there's more going on in our economy.
More production, more manufacturing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So the Cass Freight Index at this point has not yet shown that there's really that much to be excited about. The Cass Freight Index is an index that keeps track of all the stuff that gets shipped by trucks across the country. And right now, the Cass Freight Index, well, it looks like volumes are down, but it looks like shippers are paying more. So things are more expensive, but not yet. Or, I mean, it's more expensive to ship things back and forth, but it hasn't translated into more and more and more trucks and trailers being on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is the expenditures chart, how much they're paying. And
That's right. The expenditures chart is kind of ticking up a little bit, but the shipments chart.
Look between what happened in 2020, though, after that. There was a big spike.
There was a big spike.
Because of COVID.
Yeah,
and that
right.
didn't start to come back down until the middle of 2022, it looks like.
That's right. That's right.
And it's kind of leveled off since then.
Yeah. So another way to track how much stuff is going around the country is to see how much is getting put on trains, rail cars, and just look to see. I mean, if you're shipping more stuff on trains this year than you were last year, then if you had a year-over-year chart, the chart would be positive, right? Because you're shipping more stuff this year than you were last year. And it does look on the rail chart, it looks like there's some positive stuff going on there.
Yeah. So, looks like about the past year and a half.
Yeah.
There's been growth year over year, percentage of growth on what's getting loaded onto rail cars.
That's right. So there may be some positive news in spite of all the negative things we talk about here in the week in review.
Yeah.
Because there's plenty of not so positive things going on in our world as well.
That's for sure. But to see some of the kind of the underlying mechanics, you know, show some positive signals.
That's right.
That might give you some, you know, hope.
Some
that
hope.
As the economy as a whole and what we're paying at the grocery store, some of that might start softening for us.
Well, one can always hope.
That's right.
That's right. One can always hope.
We can have.
Because in the arena of inflation.
Oh, yes.
The
not quite at our 2% target level.
We're nowhere close to our 2% target. But you know, the interesting thing is that in December of 2025, the Fed announced that it was going to stop, as they call it, quantitative tightening. Mm-hmm. And that means they're gradually taking money out of the economy. And so the money supply is just tightening and tightening.
Which is better for inflation.
Which is better for inflation.
Down the road.
But they said they were stopping in December. And since then, the Fed balance sheet has expanded substantially. And if you look at the charts,
so now they're flooding money back into the
economy. Back into the economy, which is very inflationary.
Seems kind of like a seesaw effect. It was up, now they're tightening, now they're loosening.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So it does seem that prices are still pushing up.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the Cass Freight Index shows that shippers are paying more for their shipping. And we all know, of course, that things at the grocery store have not gotten any cheaper. And the Big Mac Index is still flying off the charts.
I had a Big Arch the other day. They have a new sandwich. The Big Arch.
The Big Arch.
It's a new sandwich at McDonald's.
A new sandwich at McDonald's.
Wasn't bad.
The Big Arch Index.
I don't think it'll replace as an index, but we'll see.
That's right, but we'll see.
Yep.
The Baconator the Index. Baconator. That's right, yeah. Well, you know, the problem, of course, is when expenses go up, then businesses have to either figure out a way to raise their prices.
Oh, yeah.
Or it starts hurting their margin.
For sure.
And when businesses' margins get hurt, then they struggle.
And there's constant pressure on those businesses.
And there's constant pressure.
Right? Quarter after quarter. You got to be doing better. The investors
right.
demand more.
That's right. So there was an article here that was talking about some of the retailers and companies that are at risk. In 2026.
Yes.
Apparently, Walgreens is planning to close over 1,200 stores.
Yep. That's
Walgreens is
that's crazy.
It's kind of a big deal in pharmaceuticals.
Yep.
And
there's just a list of companies here that are just kind of going through it, you know? And I wonder, are we kind of just seeing these because they're happening? There's so many companies, or is this really something to be worried about?
Well, honestly, any time you have major companies that need to close up shop, or, you know, like Dollar General, the foot traffic in Dollar General is down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason it's down is because even at Dollar General, people cannot afford to buy as much as they used to.
And things aren't a dollar.
And things are no longer a dollar.
It's like the $1.25 store now, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Or the $5 store.
Five and below.
Five and below, that's right, yeah.
Family Dollar.
But there it is, and maybe it's like a dollar in general. It's a dollar,
right? Right? Dollar-ish store.
which is why I, who knows? I really don't know why they call it Dollar General.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I really don't. But anyway, the point is that if foot traffic is down, that means people are spending less money there. And when people are spending less money in these stores and with these businesses, it hurts the business, and the economy gradually contracts and gets smaller. But I think the main point...
And we've even talked about high income earners. Folks, mm-hmm. you know, a new trend, folks making over $100,000 are now shopping at Walmart.
That's right.
Larger and larger numbers.
Just to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So, but I think the whole point of all that is while there's a lot of stuff continuing to go on around the globe, you really want to make sure that your investment portfolio is well diversified, that it is structured
so
to
important.
Be able to get through various types of economic conditions.
That's right. It's right. Different pushes and pulls mm-hmm. from different directions.
That's exactly right.
And if you got all your eggs in one basket,
that's right.
The old cliche, then that's not going to be good for you.
That's right. That's right. And as we say so often, and we can't say this often enough, just to make sure that your investments truly are a reflection of your values, right? Not just from a faith standpoint, but from a business standpoint as well.
Yes. And we only got about a minute or so left, but I think we should talk about the article I seen this morning is that the United Arab Emirates have warned that they might start using the yuan instead of U.S. dollars.
The yuan, the Chinese yuan. Where did you see, where was that article?
Oh, it was a couple places. I forget
was
exactly
that,
where.
Was that at Reuters? I think that was.
I think it might have been a Fortune and a Reuters.
Or Forbes. Yeah, that's
Forbes,
right. That was,
yeah,
in Forbes.
I think it was a Forbes. Yeah, that. A couple of them had paywalls and mm-hmm. we had to go to a different site.
That's right. But yeah, so the Forbes article was that apparently officials from the United Arab Emirates had said that they were running short on dollars, and so they might have to use Chinese yuan to settle their trade transactions.
Yeah, for their oil transactions if the war in Iran leads to a dollar shortage.
Yeah,
that's right. The warning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned. Clearly, the war in Iran is creating a lot of dynamics around the globe. And you really, you know, again, don't try to time the market or anything, but stay well diversified in a well-constructed portfolio.
Yeah, no, and I think that's the most important thing. But we brought some good news for Joe today.
So we did.
That's I think right. He should be happy.
Joe should be happy.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for listening. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking every week about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And I am Eric.
And it's good to be here with you today.
Yes, it is.
Or I mean, we're recording, so we won't actually be with you because this will go out.
It's good to be here with Joe today.
It's good to be here with Joe today. That's right. And you know, we should invite somebody over. If you get the weekly puzzler correct and you'd like to visit here at the station when we record, you know, we'll pick like the third person with the correct answer.
That's right.
That's right.
And then we'll ask permission from the station afterwards.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, if there's only one thing that you take away from today's podcast, we hope that you will take away the point that if you want to be successful, your definition of success needs to be measurable.
That's right. So a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about defining success,
mm-hmm.
correct? And That's then right. talking about that it needs to be specific and intentional.
That's right.
And now this week, we're going to be talking about how it must be measurable.
That's right. And I think when we were talking about being specific, we talked about the fact that it needed to be written down.
Mm-hmm.
We said putting your definition of success in writing makes you 42% more likely to actually get to where you're going.
That's right.
But when you start writing things down, you've also taken a really important step towards making things measurable.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's so, a good step in that direction.
That's right. So writing things and putting things in writing is really important.
But it could still be garble on a paper as well.
It could be garble on a paper, like that jobs report.
Keep that put away.
All right. Put the jobs report away. We're on to the next segment here. But, you know, really, no, we think that measuring our progress is actually a biblical principle, even though most times we don't think about it that way. But think about this with me, right? All through the Bible, God had really specific standards for measuring whether or not people were fulfilling the plan that he had.
That's true.
Right? Think about Noah.
Mm-hmm. What, the ark?
The ark. I mean, that was really, really specific. It took him an amazingly long time to build it, but he could measure his progress.
Yeah, and that reminds me of the Ten Commandments. They're a clear set of rules with measurable outcomes. Thou shalt not steal.
That's right.
Not very ambiguous there.
No, pretty clear, pretty measurable.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And in the very beginning, of course, Adam and Eve were told they could eat anything they wanted to, but just not the fruit of that particular tree. So that was also...
very specific.
Really specific.
And measurable, not even one.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And we can think of other examples. Nehemiah, he was a Jewish leader, and he meticulously oversaw the rebuilding of Jerusalem's walls by assigning tasks, setting a timeline, and tracking progress.
That's right.
It's rather specific and measurable.
That's right. And I know, you know, last week I think we were talking about interstate highways.
Oh, boy.
Which is a far cry away from rebuilding a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder sometimes.
Right? How specific and measurable are they being?
That's right. I mean, it took Noah over 100 years to build the ark. And sometimes I wonder if that's what we're doing on, you know, the 83 corridor or on the South Bridge, right?
The multi-decade expansion.
Yeah, that's right. Which is really probably not very funny, but somewhere there's a plan.
No, I drive up it every day. No, it's not very funny.
but somewhere there's a plan. The plan is in writing and it's measurable.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
So what's important.
That's right. So we understand. But anyway, back to the biblical text, to not get too far off. God gave people a plan for a tabernacle and a temple. So we would simply run out of time if we went through and listed all the different examples and stories where God had something really specific. So, so we think that when we line out a definition of success, we put it in writing, we're specific about it, and it's measurable, we think that is a principle.
Yeah, I mean, imagine going on a road trip without a destination or even a map. You might enjoy the scenery for a little while, but eventually you'll start to wonder if you're headed in the right direction.
And how far. Right.
You know, having a measurable plan is like having a GPS for your financial journey.
That's right. When we were kids, you know, Mom, are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
That's
are we
exactly there yet? Right. So we want to know, really. I mean, we have this inherent need inside of us to know, are we making progress in the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we said this already, but I'll say it again. If you take our advice from last week and you commit your plans to writing, then you will have started in the process of making a smart definition of success, that you will be making things measurable.
And now, what if they did miss it? How can they listen to?
Oh, yeah, good point.
Episodes?
If you didn't have an opportunity to hear our podcast from the last couple of weeks, you can visit the Holy Family Radio website at www.720whyf.com. Did I get that right, Joe? And when you get to the website, click on the tab that says Resources, and then choose Podcasts. Look for the Money and Mission Podcasts, and you can listen to all of them. I think, how long are they saved there, Joe?
forever.
For posterity, right? So be careful what we say. But secondly, we're working hard at getting these podcasts onto the Wealth Development Council website as well. Mm-hmm. And that's www.wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. I don't think we're quite finished with that project yet, but you can check periodically and we'll let you know when we're finished. So
there's a button on the homepage that mm-hmm. says podcast.
Right on the right
just
side.
Click that button.
Just click the button that says podcast. Yeah. So if you miss one of the episodes that we're talking about, many of the things we're talking about here build on each other.
That's right.
So if you miss something, you can go back several episodes.
Kind of like some of the sermons at church where they, if you know, they pick up on a certain theme and week after week they go over things.
That's right.
And if I miss it one week, I'm like, oh my, what were they talking about last week?
That's right. Yeah. So, all right. So you can go back and listen. And then you can kind of measure your progress as mm-hmm. well in listening to all of the episodes. But, you know, someone, I just want to kind of relate this to the investment world.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young man that called me some time ago to ask my advice on a particular investment that he had made. This investment had a widely publicized reputation as being incredibly risky and having a lot of volatility.
Mm.
Okay. Fortunately, the timing had worked out really well and his investment had increased in value enormously. It just went to the sky. And the question that he had for me was, well, what should I do? And I said, sell it, right? I mean, because you don't really make money until you sell something. And what was his response? His response was, well, why in the world would I sell it? You know, because it's making money.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question to ask him. But we all have to remember that the goal isn't just to make money, right? It's to achieve your specific financial goals. And if the investment has exceeded your target, maybe taking some profits might be prudent to protect your gains and reallocate towards other objectives that you may have.
That's right. Well, the problem here was that he didn't have a target. I mean, this is a very good point.
So he didn't define success in that situation.
He didn't define success. He had no idea where he was headed. And just like you said, if the investment has exceeded your target, but what if you didn't write it down? What mm-hmm. if you had no idea where you're headed? Well, That became a really difficult question for him to deal with because he didn't have a measurable definition. And because he didn't know how to measure success in his investment, then he was stuck dealing with the many emotions that come at us all the time when we don't have a written plan.
Yeah, and investing can be an emotional roller coaster.
That's exactly right.
But like you said, having a measurable plan gives you a sense of control and helps you make decisions based on logic, not fear or greed.
That's right. And if you don't have that written out and you don't have it measurable, then what happens, unfortunately, it works like this. You wind up struggling emotionally. First, you wonder, is it time to sell?
Mm.
Will
mm-hmm.
this go up forever? Well, only God knows how long anything is going to move in any particular direction. I mean, he doesn't share that with me,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know that he shared it with anybody else either. So here you have this thing, money, which is probably important to you at some level, and it's invested, and you've got this investment that's going up, and you start wondering, when is this going to go down? And it starts nagging at you, and then you worry, and you get into a cycle potentially of just worrying, which is really not what God wants you to be.
No, not
right?
at all.
I mean, it's not a good spot. And if you don't have a target, maybe the market, you know, maybe your investment starts going back down in value. Then you're kicking yourself. Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know we've talked about this form, the term loss aversion, where people tend to feel the pain of a loss a lot more intensely than the pleasure of an equal gain. Measuring goals can help mitigate this, providing a clear exit point, like you said, whatever that target should have been.
That's right. So, but the reason we're sharing this really here and spending time on it is that this emotional stuckness that is so easy to get into when you don't have a measurable plan it can just knock you out.
That's right.
Right. I mean, it really can. It can cause you to make bad decisions. It can hurt relationships if you've got this worry thing going on, and so on and so forth. So, you know, really we say if there's one thing that you take away, your definition of success needs to be measurable.
That's right.
Please write it down and have a measurable target. Speaking of measurable targets, though, the clock is sitting here running, and
but I also know we have some examples, right, of folks that have achieved their definition of success. We'll talk about more later in the show, but I'll just start with one. Bill Gates, he had a vision for Microsoft, and that was to put a computer on every desk in every home.
Mm-hmm.
And he tracked market share and sales figures meticulously to gauge progress towards this goal, specific and measurable.
That's right. And we have a measurable target each week to do a weekly puzzle.
That's right.
And
we'll get that to the next segment.
We're running out of time as we can. we're measuring, saying, oops, we're not on target for that.
That's okay. We'll be back after this quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
Yeah. And we are co-hosting. And, you know, the main thing we're really talking about today is that your definition of success should be measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And we failed miserably on the measurable thing in the second segment.
No, I think we did great.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
Because we ran out of time.
That's okay.
It was measurable. We did not get to our weekly puzzle.
It's time for PA Trivia. PA Trivia.
Well, it is time for my favorite part of the show. It's time for our weekly trivia.
Yay.
Right here on Holy Family Radio. Well, last week's trivia question was fascinating. For one season in 1943, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers merged. Merged. Unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
Into a single team due to player shortages during World War II. What was the team's unofficial nickname? And the answer is the Steagles.
The Steelers and the Eagles.
The Steelers and the Eagles. Yeah.
I see why it was unofficial.
Yes, that's right.
All right. So our puzzle this week, that while meeting in York, Pennsylvania in 1777, the Continental Congress issued a proclamation for a specific event that we now celebrate as a major national holiday every November. What was this first that was declared right here in York? In York, PA, in 1777, a proclamation for an event we now celebrate as a major national holiday every November.
Every November.
There's a hint. What was this first that was declared right here in York, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, well, if you think you know the answer, send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the show next week.
That's right. So let's pick back up on measurable, James.
Yes. I feel like we really went down a little rabbit trail there. But measurable just means that you're able to measure.
Fair enough.
I mean, that sounds so redundant. But have you ever tried to measure something where you didn't have a standard to measure it against?
No.
You pull out a yardstick, you pull out a ruler. I mean, you need to have something to measure against.
Mm-hmm.
When you write down your plans and you write down your definition of success, and you have spelled out, this is where I'm trying to go, this is where I'm trying to be, this is what I'm trying to get accomplished, and you have a written plan, then that written plan provides the measurable framework, right, against which you can look at the results you're experiencing and hold it up against where you said you were trying to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Because without measurable success, you know, a lot of individuals can find themselves adrift in a sea of uncertainty.
That's right.
Unsure if they're making progress or just simply treading water. This can lead to missed opportunities, emotional distress, and even a misalignment of resources and your values.
That's right. It works like this. I was sitting in a board meeting for a particular organization, and the board was getting some coaching from this business coach who was trying to get the board more focused and on track.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about goals of the organization, everything. And this coach said that this is not specific enough. He used the word squishy. Right? He said, you guys are being squishy. We thought we had everything written down and laid out, but it was squishy. It wasn't specific enough, so it was not able to be measured.
Interesting.
But there are many places as we get into finance and investments and different things, different areas related to planning, there are some very specific examples of places where it's so important to be specific and measurable. For example, knowing whether I am spending too much money on insurance, for example.
It's important to know.
Yeah. If I'm balancing out my cash flow, remember, if I'm trying to either save up money or invest money or get from here to there, then I have to understand how my cash is flowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the B word that we all love to hate.
Budgeting.
No, I mean, really, because every dollar that comes in has to go somewhere. We can either spend the money to live on, or, you know, we can pay debt with it or taxes, or we can put it somewhere to grow. But balancing that out has to be specific. The only way that we know if we're spending too much is to have a goal that we're heading towards.
That's true. And like you always say, you know, we should look at money as a tool. You know, it's a tool to achieve your goals, not an end by itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by having measurable financial goals, you can ensure that your money is working for you and your values.
And your values, doing what you want it to be doing.
That's right.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's doing what you want it to be doing as opposed to doing what somebody else thinks it should be doing, like the last sales rep that showed up.
Oh, well, that's true too, but there's a very good chance they don't hold the same values.
That's true. And if you really measure where you're heading by all the ideas that different sales reps put in front of you, you will pretty soon be broke.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll have some good products and maybe you won't. But let's kind of pick up on that insurance policy example. And not only does a measurable goal help you know whether you're spending too much on insurance, but it helps you know whether you have the right kind of insurance and whether your insurance policies are actually doing what you thought they were going to be doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we said that even if you don't have a written financial plan, or let's say if you're running a business, a written business plan, if you at least just take each account that you have and each insurance policy, and, you know, if you're invested in properties, I mean, just make a list of the things you have, and next to each thing, write a little sentence of, this is what I want this thing to be doing.
The account or product purpose.
The purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, if you have a written out purpose, then periodically you can look at that and ask yourself the question, is this actually doing what I thought I wanted it to be doing in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
So at a really basic level, it helps keep you centered. It helps avoid that scenario that we were talking about a few minutes ago where something seemed to be working, but, oh my goodness, what should I do now? Right? Because I just don't have a target laid out.
That's right. Just like the example earlier in the show.
That's right. So knowing whether insurance policies are doing what they're supposed to be doing, knowing whether an investment that I've made is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing. Again, knowing whether the advisors that I'm working with
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, especially with life insurance, a lot of those policies can be very complex. You know, over the years, there's so many different types of insurance policies, and it's so crucial to review your statements regularly and understand the various components, such as cost of insurance, cash value accumulation. I mean, folks, don't hesitate to seek help interpreting that information. It's very important.
That's right. But you can't measure that if you never look at it.
That's true, if it's just sitting in a drawer.
That's right. I mean, I can't tell you. We hear this periodically. Oh, you know, I bought this a while ago, and well, have you looked at it lately?
Yeah, and some folks, they look at their policy and the cash value is negative.
That's right, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
Joe, a couple minutes ago, said he was reading this devotional that encouraged him to stare at God and glance at his problems.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Stare at God, but glance at your problems.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you glance, well, for example, let's say that you have this insurance policy. Like I actually
we're glancing at this policy right now.
That's right. We're glancing at this policy right now. This is not my policy, and fortunately, you know, I wasn't responsible for this. But it actually has negative value.
Mm.
I think if I pulled this statement out, I would be. I mean, first I would glance, and then I would stare.
I mean, when the first time, especially to the untrained eye, right? Like the consumer, it's that can be concerning.
Right.
And it's important to understand why it's happening.
That's right. But when you set up an insurance policy, usually like there's this ledger that's laid out. It's filled with numbers and it shows where it is that, you know, you may be years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And often, I mean, that's measurable. The numbers are laid out. It's easy to measure. But often, you know, people, again, will buy that and stick it in a drawer and they'll never look at it again, never evaluate it. So interest rates may change, cost of insurance may change, different things may change. And if it's never reviewed, then there's no possible way that you can measure where you are towards a goal.
Mm-hmm. So how about, like you were saying, with on some of the investment side? Talk about that for a minute.
Well, investments go up and down in value like all the time.
That's true.
Which makes it
and volatility, correct?
Possibly more difficult to measure, right? Because when you lay out where you think you're going to be in the future with your investments, usually you can't just create a ledger that, you know, swings up and down all the time on a spreadsheet. The numbers neatly lay out in this upwardly marching timeline, and it just looks like you have more and more and more, and that's what your projection is. But in real life, investments go up and down in value.
That's, and when the market is soaring, it's easy to get caught up in the euphoria and think that that'll continue forever, right? But history tells us that markets are cyclical. They go up, they come down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like you said, don't have a clear target when it takes some of the profits off the table, you risk riding that wave all the way back down, potentially losing those gains.
That's right. And you can't, you know, sometimes people will set a target and then they'll fudge on the target. The target's laid out and then we get there and they're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this, right? And we'll talk a little bit more about that in our last segment today. But it's so important when you lay out a plan that you have to stick with the plan.
That's right.
Measure it and stay focused in that direction. Well, we are out of time.
That's right. We'll be back after this. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
where we're talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James.
And this is Eric.
Yeah. And we are co-hosting. And, you know, the main thing we're really talking about today is that your definition of success should be measurable.
Mm-hmm.
And we failed miserably on the measurable thing in the second segment.
No, I think we did great.
Oh, did you?
Hell yeah.
Because we ran out of time.
That's okay.
It was measurable. We did not get to our weekly puzzle.
It's time for PA Trivia. PA Trivia.
Well, it is time for my favorite part of the show. It's time for our weekly trivia.
Yay.
Right here on Holy Family Radio. Well, last week's trivia question was fascinating. For one season in 1943, the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers merged, unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
Into a single team due to player shortages during World War II. What was the team's unofficial nickname? And the answer is the Steagles.
The Steelers and the Eagles.
The Steelers and the Eagles, yeah.
I see why it was unofficial.
Yes, that's right.
All right, so our puzzle this week that while meeting in York, Pennsylvania in 1777, the Continental Congress issued a proclamation for a specific event that we now celebrate as a major national holiday every November. What was this first that was declared right here in York? In York, PA in 1777, a proclamation for an event we now celebrate as a major national holiday every November.
Every November.
There's a hint. What was this first that was declared right here in York, Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Well, if you think you know the answer, send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, and we'll read the answer on the show next week.
That's right. So let's pick back up on measurable, James.
Yes. I feel like we really went down a little rabbit trail there. But measurable just means that you're able to measure.
Fair enough.
I mean, that sounds so redundant. But have you ever tried to measure something where you didn't have a standard to measure it against?
No.
You pull out a yardstick, you pull out a ruler. I mean, you need to have something to measure against.
Mm-hmm.
When you write down your plans and you write down your definition of success and you've spelled out, this is where I'm trying to go, this is where I'm trying to be, this is what I'm trying to get accomplished, and you have a written plan, then that written plan provides the measurable framework,
mm-hmm.
right, against which you can look at the results you're experiencing and hold it up against where you said you were trying to go.
Yeah.
Right.
Because without measurable success, you know, a lot of individuals can find themselves adrift in a sea of uncertainty.
That's right.
Unsure if they're making progress or just simply treading water. This can lead to missed opportunities, emotional distress, and even a misalignment of resources and your values.
That's right. It works like this. I was sitting in a board meeting for a particular organization, and the board was getting some coaching from this business coach who was trying to get the board more focused and on track.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about goals of the organization, everything. And this coach said that this is not specific enough. He used the word squishy. Right? He said, "You guys are being squishy. We thought we had everything written down and laid out, but it was squishy. It wasn't specific enough, so it was not able to be measured."
Interesting.
But there are many places as we get into finance and investments and different things, different areas related to planning, there are some very specific examples of places where it's so important to be specific and measurable. For example, knowing whether I am spending too much money on insurance, for example.
That's important to know.
Yeah. If I'm balancing out my cash flow, remember, if I'm trying to either save up money or invest money or get from here to there, then I have to understand how my cash is flowing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the B word that we all love to hate.
Budgeting.
No, I mean, really, because every dollar that comes in has to go somewhere. We can either spend the money to live on, or, you know, we can pay debt with it or taxes, or we can put it somewhere to grow. But mm-hmm. balancing that out has to be specific. The only way that we know if we're spending too much is to have a goal that we're heading towards.
That's true. And like you always say, you know, we should look at money as a tool. You know, it's a tool to achieve your goals, not an end by itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by having measurable financial goals, you can ensure that your money is working for you and your values.
And your values, doing what you want it to be doing.
That's right.
Right. Well, I mean, if it's doing what you want it to be doing as opposed to what doing what somebody else thinks it should be doing, like the last sales rep that showed up.
Oh, well, that's true too, but there's a very good chance they don't hold the same values.
That's true. And if you really measure where you're headed by all the ideas that different sales reps put in front of you, you will pretty soon be broke.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll have some good products and maybe you won't. But let's kind of pick up on that insurance policy example. And not only does a measurable goal help you know whether you're spending too much on insurance, but it helps you know whether you have the right kind of insurance
mm-hmm.
and whether your insurance policies are actually doing what you thought they were going to be doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week we said that even if you don't have a written financial plan, or let's say if you're running a business, a written business plan, if you at least just take each account that you have and each insurance policy, and, you know, if you're invested in properties, I mean, just make a list of the things you have, and next to each thing, write a little sentence of, this is what I want this thing to be doing.
The account or product purpose.
The purpose.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, if you have a written out purpose, then periodically you can look at that and ask yourself the question, is this actually doing what I thought I wanted it to be doing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So at a really basic level, it helps keep you centered. It helps avoid that scenario that we were talking about a few minutes ago where something seemed to be working, but, oh my goodness, what should I do now? Right? Because I just don't have a target laid out.
That's right. Just like the example earlier in the show.
That's right. So knowing whether insurance policies are doing what they're supposed to be doing, knowing whether an investment that I've made is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing. Knowing whether the advisors that I'm working with.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, mm-hmm. especially with life insurance, a lot of those policies can be very complex.
Mm.
You know, over the years, there's so many different types of insurance policies, and it's so crucial to review your statements regularly and understand the various components, such as cost of insurance, cash value accumulation. I mean, folks, don't hesitate to seek help interpreting that information. It's very important.
That's right. But you can't measure that if you never look at it.
That's true, if it's just sitting in a drawer.
That's right. I mean, I can't tell you. We hear this periodically. Oh, you know, I bought this a while ago, and, well, have you looked at it lately?
Yeah. And some folks, they look at their policy, and the cash value is negative.
That's right, which we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
Joe, a couple minutes ago, said he was reading this devotional that encouraged him to stare at God and glance at his problems.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Stare at God, but glance at your problems.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you glance, well, for example, let's say that you have this insurance policy. Like, I actually...
We're glancing at this policy right now.
That's right. We're glancing at this policy right now. This is not my policy, and fortunately, you know, I wasn't responsible for this, but it actually has negative value.
Mm.
I think if I pulled this statement out, I would glance, and then I would stare.
I mean, when the first time, especially to the untrained eye, right, like the consumer, that can be concerning.
Right.
And it's important to understand why it's happening.
That's right. But when you set up an insurance policy, usually like there's this ledger that's laid out. It's filled with numbers and it shows where it is that you know, you may be years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And often, I mean, that's measurable. The numbers are laid out. It's easy to measure. But often, you know, people, again, will buy that and stick it in a drawer and they'll never look at it again, never evaluate it. So interest rates may change. Cost of insurance may change. Different things may change. And if it's never reviewed, then there's no possible way that you can measure where you are towards a goal.
Mm-hmm. So how about, like you were saying, with on some of the investment side? Talk about that for a minute.
Well, investments go up and down in value, like, all the time.
That's true.
Which makes it...
And volatility, correct?
Possibly more difficult to measure, right? Because when you lay out where you think you're going to be in the future with your investments, usually you can't just create a ledger that, you know, swings up and down all the time on a spreadsheet. The numbers neatly lay out in this upwardly marching timeline, and it just looks like you have more and more and more, and that's what your projection is. But in real life, investments go up and down in value.
And when the market is soaring, it's easy to get caught up in the euphoria and think that that'll continue forever, right? But history tells us that markets are cyclical. They go up, they come down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like you said, don't have a clear target when it takes some of the profits off the table, you risk riding that wave all the way back down, potentially losing those gains.
That's right. And you can't, you know, sometimes people will set a target and then they'll fudge on the target.
Mm-hmm.
The target's laid out, and then we get there and they're like, oh, I don't think I'm going to do this, right? And I will talk a little bit more about that in our last segment today. But it's so important when you lay out a plan that you have to stick with the plan.
That's right.
Measure it and stay focused in that direction. Well, we are out of time.
That's right. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Christ Community Catholic. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Nourishing our Catholic family, sharing our faith with others.